goals and dreams. Is there a way to balance your work with other things you enjoy doing that will not make you feel like your time is being abused? At Born to Lead program, we help you to discover or rediscover your purpose or plan for life. We tell you how to find purpose in life. We are all born with a purpose. Join us on the journey to discover how other people have successfully achieved their dream or are on the path of doing so, and how you can do the same. This is Born to Lead. My name is Kizito, and I'm your host. Join us here now on 104.6 Planet FM. Good afternoon, Auckland. My name is Kizito. It says, welcome home by the Osibisa Band. Welcome you all to the Born to Lead Show for this week. So indeed, it's a very special weekend. So I'm going to do a special shout out to all our mothers in the house. And I know that without mothers, we could be nothing. So before our show for today, we have a special edition of the Born to Lead Show where we are going to acknowledge all our mothers, you know, across the globe, you know, for doing what they do and for making us very, very proud. So this is a special song that will be going to all their mothers. So stay tuned, don't go away.
Presenting you, sweet mother.
Sweet mother, I no go forget you. For this suffer way you suffer for me. Sweet mother, I no go forget you. For this suffer way you suffer.
This is Aki special, sweet mother, I never forget you. Never forget you, sweet mother.
Make you no cry again.
So, sweet mother, on the Born to Lead Show today, oh, it's special Mother's Day.
When I was asleep, my mother got
so shout out to my mom, Adelaide, Mama Adelaide in Canberra. Happy Mother's Day in advance.
So make you sleep.
Special Mother's Day greetings to my wife, my beautiful wife, Madeline. Sweet Mother's Day. And a special one going to my mother-in-law who is with us in Auckland, New Zealand. That is Mama Francisca. Sweet Mother's Day.
Sweet mother.
And of course, Sweet Mother's Day to my sisters who are all mothers. Happy special Mother's Day goes to you. Sweet Mother's Day to my spiritual mom, Pastor Dr. Mrs. Adesayo Adilawo. Sweet Mother's Day. And then sweet mother to all the Ghanaian Kiwi mothers, all the Ghanaian Aussie mothers, and all mothers in Auckland, Tamaki Makaurau, sweet Mother's Day. And the last but not least, sweet Mother's Day to all the mothers in Aotearoa, New Zealand. It is a special Mother's Day. It is a special day tomorrow. So go out there and celebrate because you have done a lot for all of us.
I never forget you,
so on today's show, so if you have a special greetings for your mom, wherever they are, you know, just post it on my Facebook page and I will be ready to read them out, wishing your mothers a special Mother's Day in advance.
But it's somebody, somebody for me.
And as part of today's show, so we have a very special guest in our midst who is also going to be talking up to us about what he does and what, you know, what motivates him to do what he does. And then also what we can learn, you know, from him in the aspect of leadership. So stay with us. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Sweet mother, I never forget you. For this suffer where you suffer.
When I did
my mother go carry me. She go say my pikin, waiting you dey cry, yeah, yeah. Stop, make you no cry again. When I was asleep, my mother go pet me. She go lie me well, well for bed. She come on me close, say make you sleep. Sleep, my pikin.
So if you're just tuning in, you are listening to the Born Tilly Show coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM. And as I said, we have a very special guest in our midst today who is right from here. Of course, he's back to his duties. So, and that should tell you how serious he takes his job. And so without much ado, I would like to introduce our guest in the house today who is going to tell us a little bit about what he does, you know, why, you know, he has chosen that particular career, and then probably what we can learn, you know, from him in terms of leadership, especially the young people who are listening to us today. So thank you for joining us, and please stay tuned. Constable Rob Stanton, thank you for joining us today. All right, so tell us, Rob. It's a pleasure to have you once again on the show.
Thank you.
So, I know I've met many police officers at many occasions, you know, and I've had some encounters with them as well, and positive ones, of course. For my role in the community as a community leader, on this show, you know, we try to encourage young people, you know, to be good or be best at what they do. And one thing that we've not really taken attention or we've not had a look at is law enforcement officers, so especially the ethnic, you know, young people. So before we get into that, we just want to go a little bit personal, you know, with you.
Okay.
What is your story? Tell us, why did you choose the police force?
Okay. So first of all, my current role in the police is as an ethnic liaison officer, which is it's a little bit different from what you see normally in police roles. It's definitely a unique sort of position. As for why I joined the police, I grew up in New Zealand and I went to school here and I got out of high school and I didn't know what I wanted to do, like a lot of people. So I went off to university and I studied at university, got a degree, and I still didn't know what I wanted to do. And then I decided, let's just go traveling. Go and travel, see the world, and maybe I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Had lots of ideas while I was out there. Wanted to run a hotel, wanted to run a bar, but the more I met people from around the world, the more more countries I went to, I realized that I wanted to do something that's working to help people. Some of the things you see around the world, you know, there's a lot of people that need help. Yeah. But I also wanted to be back in New Zealand. I wanted to go home again. Yeah. I like it here. So I came back home, and, yeah, I just something about the police force appealed to me. I like the variety of the work. I like that it involves a certain amount of action. You're not just in the same office every day. You get to go out. And of course, there's that aspect of being able to make a difference, to help people. You see things every day that you wish you could change, but there's not many roles out there that you can get into where you can actually make that change. And police is definitely one of them.
Yeah, awesome. All right, so tell us. I know there are many career paths, you know, or options in the police force. Why did you choose to become the ethnic liaison officer?
So when I went into the police force, I didn't even know this role existed. And so I found out about it once I'd already joined the police. And my experience from traveling and some of the work that I did when I was in Africa and just getting to meet people from so many different countries and seeing the hospitality with which I was treated in their countries, I realized that this was an opportunity to sort of repay some of that and also to use that knowledge that I'd gained from living with people from different nationalities and different cultures. Yeah,
awesome. One interesting thing when it comes to New Zealand is that we are increasingly diverse. And especially in Auckland, there are a lot of ethnic communities, so many of them, you know, with different languages, different cultures. How do you work with different cultures to ensure all communities are, you know, safe or they remain safe and secure?
Yeah, and that's definitely one of the challenges. Every community has its own issues. Every community has its own cultures and religions, languages, and things like that. So, but there is a common theme with all cultures, all communities, and that's just people want to be treated with respect.
Yeah,
they want to have their values respected. They want to have their personal freedoms respected, and they want to be treated fairly. So. That's how we're able to, hopefully, adequately move across so many different cultural groups. And you're right, the people I've met more people from more countries here in New Zealand than I think I did after years of traveling. Because we're really getting a good mix of diversity particularly with the refugee populations coming in.
Yeah.
They're coming from all corners of the earth, and they bring with them their challenges, but they also bring a lot of good as well.
So staying with that, let's look at dealing with the understanding, you know, of cultures and languages. You know, I don't know how many languages you speak.
English and bad English.
Yeah. So my point is, you know, you have people from different, you know, cultures, you know, with different languages, and some of them very rooted, you know, in their culture and as well as their language. I mean, how do you deal with that as a front officer, you know, going out there to engage with the communities?
So I rely a lot on my community contacts. You know, I can only be one person, and we can only ever be from one culture pretty much. So I rely on building those partnerships within the community. There's a lot of good people out there that that let themselves be known to me, and they say, hey, if you have someone from my community that's having trouble, get in touch with me. And so I'll use them. You also just have to have an openness. People really want to share their culture and their community, and if you're open to enjoying it and learning about it, then they'll pick up on that, and they'll freely express it. And then they're also not likely to be offended because they know that you're not doing it on purpose. So if you go to if you go to the mosque and you forget to take your shoes off, someone will remind you. They're not going to get upset. They know that, hey, you're here to learn about our religion. It's the same at some of the events I know that you've invited me to. I know that I have to get up and dance. You know, that's
You can't go to an African party without dancing.
And you're going to be fed. Don't eat dinner before you go to an African event, because if you're not eating with the rest, then and you know that. So that's part of it. You're open to other people's cultures, and they respect that, and and that allows you to deal, hopefully, pretty well within those cultures.
Yeah, beautiful. That's good. Let me ask, have you worked in other units of the police force, or just where you are at the moment?
Yeah, so when I started off, I went straight to what we used to be called the downtown station. It was a beat section, so we're out walking around, dealing with the drunks, dealing with the fights, a lot of drug dealing that we got tied up with, because once you start getting involved in that, you find more dealers, more drug users and things like that. So I spent 3 years doing that, and it was good. Lots of action. That's where, that's what you see on TV. That's the fast and interesting stuff.
Yeah.
After that, someone suggested I try going to youth work. And I'd never thought about doing that. I didn't want to deal with youth. I thought they're hard. You know, how am I going to talk to
them? How to deal with?
Yeah, how are you going to...
Stubborn teenagers.
Stubborn teenagers. And I remember what I was like, and I wasn't a bad one. Yeah. So imagine what youth offenders are like. But I just took the chance. I said, you know what? I guess it's something that I was afraid to do.
Yeah.
And I just said, well, what's the point in being afraid? Give it a try. What's the worst that can happen? You know. And actually, I came to really enjoy it, because once again, you were able to make a difference. These were youth offenders. You had an opportunity to change the course of their lives at that point. Now, they look, I'll be honest, a lot of them just carried on down that road, and that's fine, but we gave them opportunities. We gave them, we put them in touch with services that could help them if they wanted the help. And some did change their lives. Some have gone on to be you know, good members of the public, and we kept them out of trouble. Others, unfortunately, didn't. But it was rewarding. It was frustrating, but actually, I came to enjoy it, and I found that you want to help these young people.
Yeah,
a lot of them are running away and getting into trouble. And when you dig deep, you actually find what they're running away from is so terrible that you sympathize with them. You're like, of course, I'd rather live on the street than live in that house. And then you realize that house has given them no tools. You know, that family they've grown up with hasn't given them the tools to actually be productive in our society. And so they need all the help they can get. And then after that, after working a bit on that team, I went to the prevention team, which was about giving crime prevention information to the community. And shortly after that, I transferred to become an ethnic liaison officer. And it'll be 5 years this year that I will have been in this role. And this has probably been the most interesting and rewarding role. And some of the things I've got to do in this role, the communities I've managed to meet and interact with, has been amazing.
Yeah. Awesome. So with all the action on the street down to the youth aid, then as well as working with, you know, the communities as a liaison officer, I mean, can you share some of your work stories with us? Because people, my listeners and viewers, want to know, okay, so what has Rob been doing? What are some of the stories that he could share with us today?
So, look, to start with, it was a lot of breaking up the fights, you know, and you would have fights in Queen Street, K Road, and things like that. I remember there was one fight, maybe 10, 15 people all brawling away. And then we turn up with the lights on, everyone scatters, and I'm chasing this one guy down the street. And I'm on the road, I'm in the middle of the road, and he's on the footpath. I'm waiting for a gap between the parked cars, and I'm so focused on catching this guy that I didn't notice another guy run out between the cars. And actually, we collided. And so I ended up arresting a different guy because he just ran straight into me. But those sorts of things, that was an everyday occurrence. Policing's come a long way since then. Probably one of the best things I've done was to be deployed down to Christchurch after the earthquake. Because that being, you know, the huge tragedy that it was, I felt that we were really needed down there. And my job there was cycling through the red zone, because all the roads were blocked with rubble and the bridges were destroyed, and you weren't allowed to take vehicles in there. So I had to patrol the red zone to make sure no one was looting, make sure no one was in the unsafe area, and got to cycle around there in the middle of the night on a bicycle. And yeah, it's quite a unique experience.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you, Rob. So with us in the studio today, it's police officer Rob Stanton, who's sharing with us some of his stories and what he's done as a police officer. So we go for a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll continue with him some of the things that he's been doing.
What is up, you suffer for me,
So as I said, so it's a special day for the Born to Lead show. If you have any questions or comments for the police officer, feel free to post your comment or your questions, and I will ask him on your behalf. But please be mindful of your language as you comment on some of these things. Thank you very much. So we'll go for a commercial break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. So it's a special Mother's Day tomorrow, so we continue to give shout out to all the mothers in New Zealand, Australia, Ghana, UK, wherever you are. It's a special happy Mother's Day. If you just here, you are listening to the Bonjile Show, coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM 104.6. Thank you all for joining us. Portia, Obi Odu, thank you for joining us. Deji Beckley, thank you, and have a blessed day. We love you all. Thank you for tuning in to the Bonjile Show 104.6. Yeah, special greetings to all the mothers in the RCCG Victory House, New Zealand, and also the Discovery Center at AUT. So, sweet mothers there. So with us in the studio today is Police Officer Rob Stanton, who is sharing with us some of his experiences as a police officer in the New Zealand Police Force, and then also some of the things, you know, that we could learn from him in from the perspective of leadership. So thank you if you're just tuning in. If you're watching to watching us live on Facebook, thank you for tuning in. And then also at planetaudio.org.nz, thank you for tuning in. So this is the Bonjile Show, your number one show on Saturdays at Planet FM 104.6. So, so back to the police officer that we've got with us today for the Bonjile Show. That is Rob Stanton, who is sharing with us some of his experiences and then some of the things that he's been doing as a police officer of the New Zealand Police Force. Thank you once again, Rob, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so tell us, Rob. I know that the police force has got a lot going on, but from your perspective, you want to know some of the roles that you've played, you know, in terms of leadership, you know, steering some of the affairs in the ethnic community, you know, encouraging people and all that. So, I mean, this involves creative thinking, you know. As a police officer, where do some of those ideas come from? Do you get thought, or some of them is by intuition and all that?
So the first thing is that we go out to the community and find out what they need. We can't dictate what the community wants and what they need without actually speaking to them. We need to go and find that out. So a lot of my work is actually getting out there, speaking to people, and building the trust that they can come to me with sensitive issues that are affecting them, and they know that I will treat them in a way that's not going to embarrass the community. And then from there, I go to my colleagues within the police, and we try to find a solution that works for both people. So, for example, at the moment, we're looking at working on quite a lot of cultural awareness training for our new officers that are coming in, because they're coming into a new policing environment, and they need some. They've been asking us for some, you know, what do we do in this situation, and you know. And they need to know that different cultures, different people, they have different views about police.
Yeah.
Certainly some of our refugee communities, they've grown up with police that they couldn't trust. They've come from countries that have descended into war. Mm. And they've had experiences of people in authority who have, you know, done terrible things to them and their family. So we need to accept that that's their experience.
Yeah.
And we need to help them come to trust New Zealand police as being different, and that's going to take some time, and it takes a bit of empathy and some understanding. So we're looking at bringing that back to our new officers that are going out on the streets dealing with these people, making sure they have the tools to do that correctly. As for what we do within the community, sometimes it's about explaining the laws of New Zealand. Explaining and making sure that they're not afraid to access those services, especially around family violence. A lot of times the women, they're fearful because maybe they're here on a residence permit. The husband tells them things. If you report to the police, you'll be deported. I'll send you back. You'll never see your kids again. Things like that. And they don't know about their rights. They don't know about the family court. They don't know that. And even the husbands don't know. Hey, if this family violence couple needs to separate, you can still both see the children. So once we explain that to them, sometimes it takes the pressure off the family and it gives people choices that they can get out of bad situations, or they can try to make it work. So it's about understanding, hey, we didn't all grow up here understanding and watching the news and hearing these things, and sometimes we need to be told about things that others take for granted.
So in your role as the ethnic liaison officer of the police force, what are some of the values you need to demonstrate in your capacity?
Well, certainly with our police core values, we've got one in there that's just called valuing diversity. And that's a relatively new one that was added to our original core values. But it is obviously a huge part of the role of all our ethnic liaison officers. And it's, as far as a leadership role, it's not just about leading it for the community. It's about being an example of it for other officers as well, showing the importance of valuing diversity. Our other values, of course, empathy. You need to have some empathy. You need to be able to think, how is this? What is this person's experience? How is it different from mine? And how will that affect the way that they're going to react? As I discussed before, people have had different experiences of police, but also there are cultural differences, the way we deal with things such as a death in the family, the way we grieve, the way we deal with the deceased, just the sort of, you just need to have that empathy to be able to pick up on those things and still be able to get the police job done, but without causing further distress to the person.
What are the strengths of Rob Stanton as a police officer?
Well, that's hard to say. Look, I came into this role not sure that I'd be able to do it. And just like the youth role, I was actually like, this could be scary. This is something that could be quite difficult. But sometimes in life you just have to try something new, even if you're not sure that you have the skills for it. I think my travel, my experience of living in Africa for a short time, doing some work there, traveling through Africa, if nothing else, it gave me a real appreciation of the diversity. I saw a National Geographic article that said there's more diversity in Africa than there is in all the other continents of the world combined. Growing up, I didn't know that. It's not until you're there that you realize, actually, there's just so many different people here, different tribes, different groups, even the appearance is different from one group to the next. And I think seeing that, it's opened me up to experiencing new cultures and meeting new people. Even when I was doing the volunteer work we did, we had people from all around the world working with us, from Asia, from Middle East, from all over Europe. So you started to see how the cultures clashed a little bit sometimes. So you could see those points, but you could also see that there's a lot in common across all cultures. We all want that security. We all want happiness. We all want to have our friends and our beliefs and everything available to us and not impinged upon by other people.
Awesome. So tell us, are there any challenges that you think that you can do better to overcome them?
I think we still need to do a little bit work, around our perceptions of other people. We're all human. The police force is made up of human beings, and we receive our information from different sources. And certainly, there were for a long time, for example, very negative views on the media regarding refugees. Especially when the crisis was occurring in Europe, and people were picking that up from the media, and they were saying, "Oh, these refugees, they're jumping the queue, or they're this or that, or they're just economic migrants, or they're." So it's about dispelling some of that ignorance, particularly around our communities. And you know, you would know yourself with the African community, as there's so many different arrival stories. People who have come here with, you know, doctorates, degrees, they're coming here to work. There's also others that have come here with nothing, who've come as refugees, but from extremely harsh circumstances, and they've gone through the quota system. They've gone through the UN. They've been, you know, approved. And I think we've got a bit more work to do, not just within the police, but within the community in general, and just dispelling some of the ignorance that there is around certain cultural groups and races, religions, and things like that.
Awesome. So how do you usually get others to accept and understand, you know, your ideas or maybe judgment on a particular issue?
So I opt for a softer approach, because I find that if you just turn around and tell someone they're wrong, then they stop listening. So, you know, police and my colleagues deal a lot with the bad people, you know. Well, that's the job of police. So if you're arresting people and you're dealing with people who are doing terrible things all day, you start to think people are terrible. So what I try to do is get people to come along to community events, like the Africa Day that's coming up next weekend, and experience the actual positives of all these communities. I also like to tell the stories of some of the people that I've met, the people that I know that are here. So, and it's not just about saying, "Hey, your opinions are wrong." Yeah, you know, hey, that's racist or that's, you know, Islamophobic. It's about just giving them something else to think about. Make them actually go, make them sort of question their own thoughts, rather than just, you know, shoot them down, because they will just stop listening. Yeah.
So tell us, how do you motivate people, especially the young people that you meet, you know, to encourage them, you know, and what approach do you use? Is it more like lead by example or your constructive feedback kind of a thing? Or how do you motivate people, especially the young people?
So when I was working in youth aid particularly, what you had to do is try to find out what actually motivated them and get them to focus on that. So a lot of those young kids that seem to have nothing going for them, seem to have no dreams, no plans, actually when you sit down and talk to them, they did have plans, they did have ideas that motivated them, but they just didn't know how to get from where they were to where they wanted to be. That's when you can actually work with them. When you know where they want to be and they say, "Hey, look, I want to learn how to play the guitar." A lot of them wanted to get into music. I said, "Well, what are you doing to get towards that?" And then we would make that part of their plan when we dealt with the other agencies, that, hey, this guy wants music lessons. He's going to keep going to school if we get him a guitar and get him some music lessons. And sometimes that would work. So it's really, you know, you can't motivate someone unless they've got their own something motivating them, but you can work with that. You can help push them towards that goal.
Yeah. Do you have people that you mentor? Or have you mentored people before? And if you have, I mean, how do you go about establishing that relationship, especially in your role? Because you are the law. As a police officer, as a law enforcement officer, you are the law. And how do you go about mentoring people to ensure that they do the right thing?
You've got to make sure that you... So some of the people that we're dealing with, some of the people that I guess you'd say we mentored... they had committed offences, they'd committed crimes and things like that, and it was about letting them know, hey, what you did in the past, those are things that you did, that's not necessarily who you are. Once you've paid that penalty for that, we can move on. So, you know, some of them, they'd been to prison. That's fine, you've been to prison, that's what you did, and now you've paid your debt. Once they realise, hey, this person, he's not judging me on what I did in the past, it actually gives them that opportunity that, hey, maybe I can change. Now I don't have to be that person anymore. If you just focus on the bad things that they've done, then they will focus on it as well, and they'll sort of continue to be that person. Yeah.
Beautiful. Following on that, what would you say is the most difficult part of your job as a police officer?
I think it's sometimes hearing the human stories behind the things that have gone on, whether it's especially around custody of children. Some people have lost access to their children. People who have been the victims of crime. People who are scared to go out of their house because they feel that they're being harassed. Unfortunately, that's the case with some of our refugees. That's where that ignorance kicks in. Some of them have had harassment from their neighbours. And to deal with that, I think that's one of the hardest things, because you take it on. You get to know these people, and if you've the downside of empathy is you start to understand how they feel, which means that you start to feel it a little bit as well. So there are some downsides to it, yeah.
Awesome. All right, thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, so you are listening to the police officer in the house. That is Rob Stanton, who is sharing with us his experience in the New Zealand Police Force. So it is a special edition of the Born to Lead Show. It is Mother's Day tomorrow. So thank you, Anna Ajugbe, for Abuji, for joining us live on Facebook. Thank you, all the mothers. So it is a special day. Please enjoy. Oh, your music.
When I was asleep, my mother go bed me. She go lie me well for bed. She cover me close, say make you sleep.
So if you just tuned in, you are listening to the Born to Lead Show, coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM 104.6. And a special day to all our mothers in the house. You have done us proud, and we are very proud of you. Thank you, and continue with the good work that you are doing. So wherever you are, in New Zealand, Australia, UK, Ghana, wherever you are, and if you're a mother, this goes for you. So if you just tuned in, you are listening live to the Born to Lead Show, coming to you from studios of Planet FM 104.6. Share with us some of his experiences in the New Zealand Police Force, and what we can do, you know, to kind of learn from the law enforcement officers as well. And of course, tomorrow is happy, but it's a Mother's Day, so we'll continue to give a shout out to the mothers in the house. So if you have a special message for your mother, as I said, feel free to post it on my Facebook page, and I'll be more than happy to share it, you know, with our viewers and listeners. So Rosemary, thank you for tuning in to the Born to Lead Show. Happy Mother's Day. You are a mom as well, so happy Mother's Day. So it's a special edition of the Born to Lead Show. It's a happy Mother's Day to all our mothers in the house. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to the Born to Lead Show, coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM.
My sweet mother, I'm not going to forget you. My sweet mother will suffer for me.
All right, so thank you for tuning in. If you are listening to us, so this is the Born to Lead Show, coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM. With us in the studio is Police Officer Rob Stanton. Thank you once again, Rob.
That's my pleasure.
All right, so Rob, tell us, how do you communicate to people? when it comes to doing your job? You know, what kind of style do you use in communicating to people?
Okay, so obviously there are some challenges around language sometimes.
Yeah.
But if those challenges exist, we do have availability of interpreters. But most people, they just want to be listened to.
Yeah.
And if you're willing to take the time, they will struggle on in their English. And once they're confident speaking with you, a lot of them you'll find they can actually communicate really well. So it's just about being patient, not jumping to conclusions. A lot of times it's human nature. You go to a car crash, you look at it straight away, you think you know who's at fault.
Yeah.
The real importance is just keeping that open mind. If you think you already know their story, then you're not going to listen to the facts, the other things that are coming in. So you have to be just approach it with an open mind.
Yeah.
Hear everything they have to say and try to build it up from there.
Okay. Now, tell us, I know there are a lot of young people out there who are saying, okay, well, he's telling a lot of good stuff, you know, about the police force. And maybe it's time for me to consider when it comes to my career path. Who can become a cop in the New Zealand Police Force?
Right. So anyone who is a New Zealand resident or for more than 5 years or a New Zealand citizen. So we are really looking to increase the diversity within the police. We want to reflect the community that we police. That's what we say. So we need to see a lot more diversity coming into the police force. With that in mind, we're looking for young people who have a bit of life experience. They understand a little bit about the culture of New Zealand. They've, you know, maybe grown up here or maybe not, but they have that life experience here. We're looking for people that are responsible, hard workers.
Yeah.
You know, you need to turn up on time.
Yeah.
You can't be late.
Well, you were here on time.
I was here right on time, despite the traffic and the rain. Yeah, so, and that's just professionalism.
Yeah.
We need honest people. So unfortunately, if a lot of criminal convictions, you know, you're not going to get in.
Yeah.
Drink driving, for example, drinking and driving, that's not you're not going to get in.
Out of the window.
Driving charge. And you shouldn't be drinking and driving. This is about your personal safety.
Yeah.
Dishonesty, drug offences, sex offences, anything like that. They you don't make the character test. We want people of good character.
Mm-hmm.
We want people to bring those skills, their culture, their religion with them, their language. We want people with different languages all the time. We need that. And driver's license. You need a full driver's license, a New Zealand driver's license, and a little bit of physical fitness. Now, a physical fitness test is not, it's not a, you're not an athlete. You don't have to be Usain Bolt. You just have to be physically fit enough that you can put up with the rigors of the job.
Yeah.
You can work those shift work without getting sick, working the night shift. So it's really, it's a few push-ups, a bit of a run, a vertical leap, so you've got to be able to jump, and grip strength test, because if you're grappling with someone, or whether you're holding a firearm, or whether you're grabbing someone off a bridge who's trying to commit suicide, you need to be strong enough that you can hold on to someone and do the tasks at hand. But otherwise, men, women, we want them all. In fact, we're looking to increase the number of women in the police. We need more women in the police. And we're definitely looking from our ethnic communities. We want the skills that they bring, as well as the cultural knowledge that they have to deal with a community that is as diverse as Auckland's.
How tall or short can I be, or big, fat? Can I, you know what I mean? So in terms of physical appearance, I mean, how tall or short can I be, or how big can I be to be able to make the cut?
Okay, so because we're very much bound by equal opportunities of employment, there is no height restriction.
Mm.
Now, having said that, part of the physical test is a wall that you have to climb over.
Yeah.
So there are ways of getting over that wall. Now, if you're not vertically gifted, shall we say, then you have to just be able to jump for the top. And if you're strong enough, you can pull yourself over. If you can jump up and grab the top of that wall, you're determined, you'll get yourself over.
It should be.
Guys like me, we just take one step on the wall and we pretty much vault over the top. It's not a particularly high wall. So there is no height restriction. Same with body size. If you can do the physical test, and there's some big guys out there. Any of our Polynesian cops, you look at them and you think, this guy is quite big.
Yeah.
How is he passing the physical test? But when it comes to running, when it comes to jumping, he's perfectly fit. So there's... That for a long time we were looking at what we call body mass index.
Yeah.
We're now tending to move away from that because we know different people, different ethnicities have different body types.
Yeah.
And you can't just look at someone and say, hey, this guy's unfit anymore. So you can be any height. You can actually be any age from 18 onwards. So there's no upper age limit.
Yeah.
Once again, it gets harder. I know it gets harder for me to do that physical test every year.
Yeah.
But if you can pass it, we want those people with that life experience. So we've had officers in their mid to late 40s going through police college.
Wow.
And they've done perfectly well. And like I said, they've brought with them so much knowledge about life and, you know, relationships, you know, you're dealing with family violence.
Yeah.
As an 18-year-old, how many relationships have you had? Whereas once you hit 40, you know what happens in a relationship.
Yeah.
You can understand the dynamics a little bit better. So.
Yeah. And then lastly, I know there are a lot of challenges, especially when it comes to swimming. I mean, swimming is part of the requirement. Why? Because some of the people, especially that I engage with within the community, I say, I can't swim. And if I can't swim, I can't pass the test of joining the police force. How true is that?
So swimming has been dropped as a requirement, so it's no longer you pass or fail. If you can't pass the swimming test, you're not going to college. It is still part of the training at police college, so we still have to learn some rescue techniques and things like that. So while we no longer have that test, it used to be you had to swim 50 meters in 51 seconds or less, you had to dive and all this. That test has gone, but you do need to be confident enough in the water that you can at least rescue someone.
Yeah.
And you know, police are often the first ones on the scene, and we a lot of police who have received bravery awards have done so for water rescues, jumping off a bridge after a car's gone in, the lady that drove off at North Coke Point there, police had to get in and get her out. So you don't want to become another victim when you jump in the water to help someone.
Awesome. And lastly, let's address the elephant in the room, the stereotypes. People in the ethnic communities, you know, have shared their bad experiences and encounters with the police. You've been labeled as racist, biased, you know, insensitive, you know, to people from different race. Does that worry you that some of your officers are making the work difficult, you know, for you by driving a wedge between the force and the community?
I think on a whole, my colleagues act very professionally. But some of the stories, and I've heard them, and from close friends within these communities, there are people that within the organisation that from time to time definitely let us down, and it's good. I think it's good that we're able to get that from the community.
Yeah.
That you and other people from the community are able to come to us and say, hey, this happened, without fear of reprisal. What we do now is we need to work on it. And I'll admit we've got a little way to go yet. That's where our cultural awareness training's coming in. But we need to change that mindset. And another way of doing that is to bring in the diversity into the police force. Because that brings in that's going to change the mindset of all officers when they're working alongside people from these communities a lot more. But I think it is disappointing. It is a challenge, and it's a challenge in every organization.
Yeah.
We're human beings, and we need to... But we, because of our role, we need to be top of the game in that. And we've got a little way to go yet, I think.
Okay, awesome. So if a young person has got the desire to help his or her community, you know, do you think the police force is a good option to consider?
I think it is, especially if you're coming in young. I think it's a good starting point. Go and see, you know, get out there and do something really practical in the community, helping victims, helping reduce crime, reduce the harm in the community. And I think it actually pays pretty well. It's not bad pay, but it's a very unique job. And I think if you came and served in the police for 5-10 years. And went on to something else, you're going to take with you a lot of knowledge, a lot of understanding about the community. Yeah,
awesome. And the last but not least, you as a police officer, but I know you do a lot in the community. I mean, what are you doing to ensure that yourself as a police officer, you continue to, you know, grow and develop, you know, as a leader and inspire young people? Because if we have 1,000 of you on the streets, I'm very sure that that stereotype, honestly, will go away because there are a lot of things out there, and it's good that you've explained some of these, which are sometimes backed by research and stuff like that. But, I mean, being engaged with you, you know, having worked with you for some time, I feel that this is what most of the community members are looking for. But unfortunately, they don't have it. And, yeah, so what are you doing in your capacity to make sure that we continue to have that trust between the police force and our community?
Yeah, look, I work in amongst all my colleagues. I'm always expressing my admiration, my passion for the communities that I work with. And I think that it brings out some curiosity from them that, oh, you know, what about this group, or what about these guys? And I'm always very vocal about the communities that I work with and my support for these communities and the great people in them. I also, like I said, with the cultural awareness training, I'm staying very much involved in that. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be involved in just getting out there and being vocally expressing about these cultures to our new recruits, making sure that the next generation of police are coming with a bit more of an open mind. They're going to, you know, they're going to put aside some of the stuff they think they know, and actually give these communities a chance to teach them about their own communities.
Awesome. So. What would be your last word, Officer Stanton, on this show?
As far as for young people, look, don't worry about what people think of your failures. They don't think about them at all. They don't think about them nearly as much as you do. So don't think, oh, if I do this, I'm going to fail and everyone will know it. People don't think about that. They don't dwell on what you failed. They dwell about their own failings. So just go out there, let yourself fail. Learn from that and keep going. Don't dwell on what other people think about you. And that way you'll keep determined, you'll keep motivated, and you'll keep moving towards your goal.
Constable Rob Stanton, thank you for joining us on the show.
Thank you very much.
All right, so you've heard it all. So that was police officer Constable Rob Stanton, who shared with us some of his stories as a New Zealand police officer. It is a Sweet Mother's Day. Tomorrow is Mother's Day. Thank you all for joining us. And at this moment...
Show for you this week, Terrence. Terrence, thank you for tuning in. Mavis Anifori, my sister all the way from USA, thank you for tuning to the Bontoli Show. We like tomorrow is Happy Mother's Day, and we would like to wish all the mothers in the house, as I said, those in Australia, those in New Zealand here, those in Ghana, those in USA, wherever you are, if you're a mom, this song goes for you. Thank you for tuning in to the Bontoli Show. We'll come back next week with a special edition, and I wish you all the best. So mothers, tomorrow go out there and celebrate. Thank you for tuning in, and God bless you. Have a good week. Thank you.